Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Still Small Voice. This is Sharon Hurst, and I'm so excited to have you with us today. The Lord has blessed us with an awesome guest, and I am just so happy to have him with us. But before I bring my guest on the show, I want to share a word of encouragement with you. I've been getting emails and some phone calls from those of you that have been going through, and it is my desire to keep you encouraged with the Word of God. As He pours it into me, you know I'm going to pour it into you. So listen to this word, and it's called Trust in the Lord Until the End. The Lord says, be steadfast, ready to go on trusting Him to the very last hour. We have to know that God is able to provide for us even when we can't see the provision. We have to know that it is there. God wants us to be faithful like His servant Abraham, because there are going to be times when we have to climb our own hill of sacrifice, trusting in the Lord to the very last moment, believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that at the very last second, the Lord will step in with His deliverance. This final test that we go through, it's going to come to all of us that are walking by faith. We've got to rely on God and God alone, because there are times that our friends and our family won't be there. And that's when He says to look to Him. Look to Him only. Trust in Him and trust in His word. Trust and fear not. Know that He's able to provide what He has promised. Trust in Him to the end. He asks us, what is it that you fear? Why do you think that He's not able to do what He says He will do? Don't listen to what others are saying, because there are times when you go through things, people will look at the negative things around you, and that is what they will speak into your life. You've got to shut that out so that you can only hear the Lord's voice and know that He's there. Stand on what you know to be true, and that is the Word of God. And then reflect. Reflect back on that last miracle that the Lord performed in your life. Remember how you marveled at what He did, how you were amazed that He did what others said couldn't be done? Nevertheless, God did it. He took the impossible and made it possible. He did it then, and He will do it again. God does not change. So don't wonder if He will provide. Know that He will provide, and trust in the Lord until the end. And we have an awesome guest today that had to do just that. He had to trust in the Lord until the end. He had to know that when everything else was going wrong in his life, that there was one that could see him to the end. And I want to tell you about an amazing man. His name is Cam Tribulet. Cam is so many things, but after reading his book, Dead 13 Times, and learning to live again after dying, he is a walking miracle. He is a husband, he's a father, a public speaker, a TV personality. He's an amputee, a hunter, a skier, a volunteer. He is so many things. Cam is a man with an amazing story. And the Lord has blessed us today to have Arthur Cam Tribulet on the show to share his story, Dead 13 Times, and how he had to learn to live again after dying. Welcome to the show today, Cam Tribulet. Hi, Cam.
Hello, Sharon. How are you?
I am so great, and I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the Still Small Voice today and share your amazing story. And I just want to say, I know the Lord ordained you to be here, because I read your book online, and then a friend of mine sent me information about you on the email, and I told her I've got to try to find a way to reach out to see if I can get him on the show to share his story. And I found you on Facebook, and I was amazed when you responded right away.
Well, I appreciate you contacting me. I really do.
Well, I'm grateful to have you on here, and I read the book, and your life is an amazing story. And after reading it, I have been praying and claiming that they're going to turn this into a TV, a movie. It just has to be, because there is so much in here. What you went through in your life has touched so many different levels, and I just want to allow you to go ahead today and share your story. And if you can share with us what your life was like before the accident, and then we'll just go in to let you talk to us about what it was like and things you went through after being technically dead for 13 times.
Yeah, I'd love to. My life started out pretty early as being rough. My parents owned two taverns back when we were little kids, so a lot of our time was spent at the taverns as a family unit. We didn't really do church or anything like that. Just nothing really was spoke of that in our home. But the bad thing about being raised in that environment was I had all the access to the alcohol I ever wanted. And so at a very young age, probably about 8 to 10 years old, is when I started drinking. Started sneaking around in the bar and just drinking as much as I could. And that addiction to alcohol followed me right through probably 10 to 12-year-old range, where the alcohol just wasn't enough anymore for me. And I started experimenting with drugs and, you know, anything I could get my hands on, I was taking it to Quaaludes and Speed and, you know, smoking pot and hash, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And, you know, I was bounced around quite a bit, getting in trouble a lot with the police, getting kicked out of school for drugs and weapons. And, yeah, it was a really tough time, and that my addictions followed me through even greater to when I was about 18 or so, and experimented with cocaine. And probably the years of 18 to 23, you know, I'm 51 now, so it was quite a while ago. From the ages of 18 to 23, it was daily occurrence for me just to be high on cocaine and drinking. That was my days.
Mm. And in your book, you talked about what led to that accident. You said you had just finished a night at the bar and was driving home, and that's when that night changed your life.
Yeah, it was August 31st, 1986, a day I'll never, ever, ever forget. Out all night drinking, partying, high on cocaine. And my goal was to hit Last Call at one of my favorite bars. So I was heading downtown, and at the stoplight, a car pulled up next to me. And the three guys that was in the blue car were, you know, just staring me down. So I just kind of gave the, you know, kind of looked over and gave a how's he do nod. And the guy in the back seat got out. Get in my truck, so I rolled down my window to see what he wanted, and he hauled off and punched me right in the face.
Oh.
And as he's beating on me through the open window, all I remember, you know, I was a fighter back then, and, you know, a little too drunk most likely, and I just remember reaching for that car door, and from that point on, just everything went black. And the police piece it all together for me afterwards, but what had happened was we did get in a fight at the stoplight, and the guy pulled a gun and shot me three times in the stomach.
Oh, my Lord.
And one of the bullets went through the aorta, right below the heart. One bullet went through the bowel, and another one lodged near my spine after it went through the intestines.
Oh, my gosh. I remember you said that you managed to somehow, with all that, you were able to drive away, and then everything just started happening. And you were saying you kept going in and out. There was just so much pain, and you could hear them telling you to stay with you. Don't give up. And you went into cardiac arrest, and then they brought you back, and you had a vision with, and it was more like a dream, you said.
Yeah, the doctor said that they brought me back 13 different times. What had happened was, you know, the bullet went through the aorta. They put in a new graft to fix that aorta, but the infection from the bowel being opened up destroyed that repair that they made. So I've got a new aorta now. It goes from my neck down the side of my body to feed both legs. But in that time that it took, I mean, you know, brought back over 13 times. And I remember, you know, many times seeing the light, being pushed towards the light and fighting back, and I could hear people calling to me, talking to me as I'm shooting backwards in this kind of, it's kind of weird, almost like a dream sequence feel, but everything's moving around me at a fast pace, but people are moving slow towards me, and I could hear people talking to me, saying, "Come on, Ken, how you been?" And, you know, just acted like they'd known me forever. many times out of body where I could see myself in the bed. But the one time that really, really clinched it for me, you know, that fight of, between good and evil was, you know, I could see Christ on the cross above the bed. It was a Catholic hospital. As I'm looking at the at Jesus Christ on the cross, he came down off the cross and came and started coming to me. Mm-hmm. I could not see his face. I could tell it was him. I could tell it was a flowing robe and just beautiful light, and you know, a sense of calmness came upon me. And as he came closer and closer, that beautiful image of Christ turned into a hideous monster.
And he had just
feet from me. And I remember closing my eyes and just saying over and over again, please turn back into Jesus, please turn back into Jesus. So I looked up and, you know, he's right there looking me right in the eye, and I just looked him straight in the eye and said, please turn back into Jesus. And then slowly that form of that beast took the form of Christ again, went backwards and went back up on the wall and to the cross.
My Lord. And you said, thank you, Jesus. You said on that very night that everyone expected you to die, your kidney started working again. You said you were given a second chance, a chance to get it right this time. But then you said you had no idea what awaited you when you woke up. And then you said you remember feeling that your feet really, really hurt. And you really, you couldn't speak, and the nurse came in and told you not to speak. And then you said, you wrote that, my feet hurt. And she said, your feet can't hurt. You don't have any legs. What was that like when you woke up and discovered that your legs had been amputated?
I have never felt such grief and pain that I did at that moment. I had no idea what was going on. I just, you know, wake up and I could see the hospital. I'm seeing tubes everywhere, machines, and I had no idea what was going on. So all that was just, even itself was scary. And then to find out that I had just lost both legs, and I remember laying in the bed looking down and seeing nothing. And I just instantly started pulling hoses out, and, you know, I pulled my trach out, and nurses rushed in and restrained me, had to tie me to the bed and sedate me. And that was the scariest time of my life.
Oh, my Lord.
I thought it was all over.
I can't even begin to imagine how you felt and what you went through at that time. And I know, you know, this was like only in the first part of the book, and I found myself just kind of laying it down and praying, you know, praying for you, even though I knew you were okay. But it's like I was there with you, feeling, you know, some of the emotional pain that you were going through. So can you just share with us, what was that, the pain like, you know, mentally going through that?
Well, after, you know, after I came out of the coma and I found out that I didn't have any legs, you know, it really started all kind of coming full circle to me. My parents started explaining what was going on, what happened, that I got shot, and I had no legs. And I mean, everything just kind of crashed down around me. I, you know, lost my legs. Obviously, I was a builder back then. I was a home builder, and I lost my job because I couldn't walk trusses anymore with no legs. I'd lost my insurance. I was declared indigent, put on welfare. I lost everything. And the worst part about it was I was engaged to be married.
I know. And you said it was when you thought it couldn't get any worse, that your fiance came in at that time. And you said, surely you hadn't lost her too. And then that's when she said, Cam, I just don't think I can marry a man with no legs. And I'm going to be honest, that's when I lost it. I just lost it there, because I'm thinking, no, this can't be happening. And then at that moment, there was something that you decided you were going to do. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was, you're right. That was the moment I lost it. That was when it really hit home to me that, I've lost everything. I lost my self-esteem, and I lost my will to live. And I had planned at that moment that I'm just not going to live as a man with no legs and no job and no purpose. And I had planned, as soon as I got out of the hospital, that I was going to end it all.
But, you know, God said not so, didn't he? God said not so. Oh, I thank the Lord for that, because Cam, this story would not be shared right now, but I thank the Lord that he said not so, and the Lord sent you an angel in the name of Sue. And oh, thank God for Sue. I thank God for your physical therapist, Sue. And things begin to turn around. So can you just go ahead and just share with that? Because I was rooting for Sue the whole time.
I still root for Sue.
She is that angel sent from heaven. Oh, thank God for Sue. Go ahead, Cam, and tell us about that.
I was in the hospital for 8 months. And, you know, there's just a lot wrong with me. Liver problems, kidney problems, the heart. I mean, you name it, I had it. 30-something operations, transfusions, the works. Their goal after 8 months was to try to get me strong again. I went down to, I was just 130 pounds. I was just nothing.
Wow.
And they rolled me into physical therapy, basically for strength training. And, you know, here I am. I'm still jaundiced. I'm yellow. I had a bald spot from laying in the bed for so long, and bed sores from laying in the bed so long. And their goal is to get me onto the tilt table to raise me up again so I can learn how to sit upright, because I've been laying flat for so long. So they scoot me over, they strap me down, they put me on this table, and they start cranking this table up. Well, instantly, the blood just rushed from my head, and I started getting sick.
Mm.
And the therapist helping me at the time yelled across the room for somebody to bring something for me to get sick in. And this girl comes running over with this thing, and as I'm holding it, I'm looking at her and thinking, wow, you are hot. that And at that moment where, you know what, after 8 months of being in the hospital, she was a beautiful sight. And I knew right then that I was going to make Sue mine.
Oh, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I love that. The book just has so much in it. You know, it has hope, deliverance, salvation. And when you begin to talk about Sue and saying you were going to make her yours, I said, okay, now, Lord, he's letting us know that no matter what we go through, Father, you have that perfect person, that perfect mate, just waiting on us, and you will bring them into our lives at that appointed time. So, you know, I say to those out there, no matter what you're going through, Cam is letting you know God's got that perfect person for you. He is a healer. He is a deliverer, and he will bring you through. So I want you to talk about Sue a little bit and the relationship with her and the part she played in getting things right for you.
Yeah, tell you what, Sue and I had no idea until we got to talking at the hospital, got to know each other a little bit, that we are so much alike.
Wow.
And she was able to look at Cam past the drug abuse, past the alcohol.
Mm.
She looked at a man with no legs and yellow and fell in love with this man.
Oh, wow.
She saw more to me than what I saw myself.
Mm, thank you, Jesus.
And that just gave me that hope that, you know, there is more to Cam than what I even thought there was. And, you know, there's one nice thing about it, and Sue and I talk about this quite a bit, that, you know, she would never have dated me in high school. There's no way. I was that kid you don't want to bring home to your parents. But we talk now that it was just so meant to be.
Yes.
That for our paths to be together that day, that it just amazes me.
It is truly a beautiful story. And I truly believe it was meant to be. And as you talked about her, the verse just came to me, just like with Jesus, she looked beyond your faults. And she saw your needs. She sees you the way the Lord sees you. And that is the beauty of true love. It's just an amazing story. It really is. So let me ask you now, with all this going on, things turning around in your life, how and when did you come to faith in Jesus?
Yeah, it took me many, many years. Yeah, you know, I'd tell people in the hospital what the visions I saw and the light, and everybody just scoffed at it, and, you know, my dad was very skeptical because, you know, like I said, we didn't go to church when we were little. And I kind of listened to him and just thought, well, maybe it was the morphine. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe, maybe I am a visionist. So I kind of denied Christ and everything I saw for many, many years. It wasn't until I was on a, I used to volunteer for this organization that takes disabled hunters out on hunts, and we're doing a hunt in New Mexico, filming it for TV, and this gentleman came up to me and asked me what we were doing, and I told him about all the program, about the disabled kids and stuff, and he said, you know what, I've got 3,000 acres in Kansas. I'd like to maybe have you guys come out and hunt. And, if somebody tells you, as a deer hunter, somebody tells you they got property in Kansas, they want you to hunt on for free, that's like hitting the holy grail of deer hunting. So, of course, we're very excited. We can't wait to get there. A year passes. We finally get on at his ranch. I take 600 with me. We have a great hunt. And that evening before I'm ready to go home, that Saturday night, Doug approaches me, the ranch owner, and asks me if I would like to go to church with him. Now, I'm not a man of the church. I didn't know God. I didn't know what was going on. And a part of me is like, oh, darn, what did I do? I'm kind of trapped now. But, out of respect for Doug and Sam, I said, I'll go to church with you. So picture this, we're in Kansas, dirt road, middle of nowhere, everything's flat as can be in Kansas.
Yes.
And here's this little white church. I walk in, and it's that instant warmth. I can't explain it.
Oh, wow.
More than that, just warmth. Like something just grabbed me and held on to me.
Oh, my
God.
People
are all hugging me and shaking my hand and thanking me for coming and welcoming me. And people are inviting me out to lunch afterwards. And I left church that day with a different feeling. I don't know what it was yet, but it was a different feeling. So I had 11 hours to drive home and think about this.
Wow.
I got home, and I told my wife about it. And Sue, she's always been a woman of Christ. But she was also looking for something a little bit different. So she was out church shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her about what I felt that day in church. And she says, I'm so glad you feel that, because I just went to this one church I want you to go with me on. And instantly, again, I'm thinking, oh, darn, what did I just do? I opened up the door for my wife to take me to church. And I'm thinking, okay. I love my wife dearly. I adore her daily. And I'm like, you know what? If you want me to go to church with you, I'll go. I walked into church, and it's that exact same warm feeling I had in Kansas.
Oh, my Lord. Look at Jesus.
I'm sitting in the pew, and Pastor Billy's up there. He's up there speaking. And I made sure I sat in the back because I just didn't feel comfortable in the church. And I'm sitting in the back, and tears are rolling down, and I'm feeling the chills. And I'm trying to hold them back because I don't want my wife seeing her husband crying, and I'm choked up. And it was as if Pastor Bill was talking just to me that day. Wow. He was explaining my life, my troubles, my trials, everything I was going through. And that was that moment. I felt lifted up, and I was taken by Christ. And I'm like, this is it. This is the feeling I want for the rest of my life. Why have I been denying this for so long?
Oh, Lord.
And that was that moment that I became a man of Christ.
Oh, my Lord, Cam. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that is just so beautiful. I'm just so touched by that, how the Holy Spirit just welcomed you in. And something you just said, you've been missing that all your life. Because when it's the presence of the Lord there, you know it. And I know I said the same thing. Why was I running from this all my life? I don't ever want to lose this. I don't ever want to lose this. Your story is inspiring. It is encouraging. In this book is awesome. You touch on so many things. You touch it on so many areas for everyone. It's a story of miracles, recovery. You talk about the street violence, the power of love. And then most of all, salvation, surrendering your life to the Lord. And I know since you and Sue have been married, the Lord has blessed you with children. And I think that this is truly a love story inside this book as well. And I want people to get this book. I'm so excited about it. And Cam, I just have to ask you, you've gone through so much and you've touched so many lives. You're involved in so many things right now. What hopes do you and Sue have for the future? What things are you involved in now?
Oh, boy.
I know I've been reading your story. You are involved in so many things. And you know what, though? That's what it's all about. When you have been blessed, you're supposed to pass it on. And that's what you're doing. And I want people to be aware of how you are sharing these blessings. I really do.
Yeah, we talk about that at home. We talk about having so much on our plate. And I told Susan, if I've got too much on a plate, then I'm just going to get a platter. Because there's a lot of... There's a lot of things that are on my plate that I want to get done. I love reaching out to people and helping them. I do a lot of volunteer work in hospitals, meet with new amputees, speak in a lot of church groups, and I just taught a 6-week class about living life to the fullest and persevering to some 17, 18-year-old kids at our church. And, you know, and that's what I want to do. I want to let them know that, you know, life may throw you some curveballs. It's done. I mean, that's life. God didn't promise us that it's going to be perfect forever.
Amen.
But he wants us to try.
Yes.
He wants us to move on. He wants us to persevere. And I guess that's my message to everybody I speak to is just, you know, you got to let him in.
Amen.
Let him in. He'll take control. He'll take control, but you have to let him in. I just like to share it with everybody. I travel a lot, and Sue and I just recently... for our 25-year anniversary, climbed three mountains.
Oh my!
Out in California, and I did it with no legs.
Oh, did it with no legs. So amazing! Wow.
And that's my word. That's what I want to tell everybody, that you know, just because you might have a disability or you might have a little trouble in your life, you've got to get through it and just experience the life of the fullest.
Amen. Amen. And I thank you for that encouraging word. Now, before we go, Cam, I want you to tell those listeners how they can reach you. I know you have a Facebook page, so if you can give them your Facebook address. You also have a website out there, too, where you've got information on. So if you can give them the information on how they can reach you, and I'm also going to share with them about the extra copies of books that I have that I want to give away.
Okay. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Cam, that's CAMTRIBOLET. It's the same Twitter handle, so you can follow me on Twitter as well. And there's an organization I'm involved with called The Way Outfitters. It's a faith-based organization. We work with disabled kids and adults and put them on outdoor adventures. And that's called TheWayOutfitters.com. You can find me on there as well.
Oh, that is awesome. And as I just said, Cam sent me some books, and I have been sharing those books with people that I know that would be blessed by hearing his story. And I still have a couple of copies left that I want to share with the listeners. So if you will send me an email here, the first two emails I get letting me know that they want to read this amazing story, I will be happy to send you a copy of Cam's book. And Cam, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show today. Your book has blessed me, and I know your book is blessing thousands right now by your amazing story. And I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on A Still Small Voice today. And if there's any encouraging words you want to leave us with before we go, I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think just that main purpose of mine is to just let God in, let him take control. Don't be like me and fight it for many, many years. Just you'll see how blessed your life will be with Christ in the center.
Amen. Amen. And with that, I don't think there's anything else that I can say that will top that off. You have been listening to Sharon Hurst on The Still Small Voice. My guest today was author Cam Tripolet, the author of Dead 13 Times, Learning to Live Again After Dying. It has been blessed to have you listening to the show today. So until the next time, keep your channels clear so you can hear that still small voice. Jesus is speaking. Have a great day. Bye-bye.